Let's just have another quick word of prayer. Lord, just amen the prayer that Aaron just prayed, that we would just see the simplicity of your love, Lord, for us. We just pray for your anointing upon your word, Lord, and for ears to hear what is from you, that we would gain a greater attraction to you, Lord, and to who you are in this time. We just commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read a story for starters and put up the pictures so that you can see pictures as I read. And then and we'll go on from there. So this story is by, actually, I don't know if it's by Max Lucado, but this book that I'm reading is from him. So some of you may recognize this story, but this is about the Wemmicks. Has anyone heard the story of the Wemmicks and Punchinello before? Just Jeffrey? Okay, great. Awesome. All right. So here's the story. Okay. The Wemmicks were a small wooden people carved by a woodworker named Eli. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and gray dot stickers. The wooden people went around the village sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones got stars. Wemmicks with rough wood or chipped paint got dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could jump over tall boxes or sing pretty songs. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like others, but he always fell. So the Wemmicks would give him dots. When he tried to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, so the Wemmicks would give him more dots. He deserves lots of dots, the wooden people would say. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I guess I'm not a good Wemmick, he decided. So he stayed inside most of the time. When he did go outside, he hung around other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a different kind of Wemmick named Lucia. She had no dots or stars. The Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would give her a star, but it would fall off. Others gave her a dot for having no stars, but it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello, so he asked Lucia how she did it. It's easy, she replied. Every day I go visit Eli the woodcarver. Why? You'll find out if you go see him. Then Lucia turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello wondered. Later at home, he sat and watched the wooden people giving each other dots and stars. It's not right, he muttered to himself, and he decided to go see Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path and stepped into Eli's shop. His eyes grew big. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on tiptoe to see the top of the workbench. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. Then he heard his name. Punchinello. The voice was deep and strong. How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you. Punchinello looked up. You know my name? Of course, I made you. Oh, back one, sorry. Yeah. That's it, yeah. Eli picked him up and set him on the bench. Looks like you've been given some bad marks, said the maker. I didn't mean to, Eli. I tried really hard. Punchinello, I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, you shouldn't either. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think, and I think you're pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I'm not very talented and my paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met Lucia, said Punchinello. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what the others think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. For now, come to see me every day, and let me remind you how much I care." Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. "Remember," Eli said as Punchinello was leaving, "you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes." Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, "I think he really means it." And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. That's it, you can cut it off. So this story has some really, actually it's a very simple story, but it has some deep meaning to it. And I want to look at a couple of the themes that are talked about in this story. Before I do, I'm going to look at a few scriptures. We're going to look at a few scriptures together and wondered if I could have some volunteers to read. There's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 16. 16 different passages. So how many people we got here? All right, we got a lot. All right, that's great. First one is Isaiah 53, 3. Who can read that one? And I'll just maybe just make a note of it, and then when I call out the scripture, if you can remember it, to read it. So Psalm 110 says, "Your people will volunteer freely." So let's fulfill that scripture. Okay. Isaiah 53, 3. All right. Noah. All right. Isaiah 53, 3. Okay. Just make a note. I'll just make it. Just do a swath of the room going this way. John 12, 42 through 43. Emma, is that right? John 12, 42 through 43. Josh, can you do John 3, 18 through 19? And Joe, can you do Hebrews 2, 17 through 18?
Yeah. Hebrews 2, 17, 18?
Yeah. And then next is Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. Alex, can you do that? And then Nick, sorry to skip you, buddy. James 4, 4, can you do that one? Let's see, Galatians 6, 14. Jeremiah, got that? And then John 16, 33. Actually, that's getting confusing now. Just someone just shout it out if you can do it. What did I just say? John 16, 33? You got it, Aaron? Okay, great, thanks. John 6, 37. Thank you, sir. Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 8. Thank you, my brother Luke.
Is Galatians what?
Oh.
14, okay.
1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Ames. John 3, 27. It's okay. Come on, you can do it. All right, brother, thank you. Romans 15, 7. Come on. Thank you. John 6, 37. Okay, thank you so much. Two more. John 15, 12. Thank you, Evelyn. And Romans 15, 7. Last but not least. Josiah, thank you. Appreciate it, buddy. All right. All right, so helps me to have some internal structure, and prayerfully this message will have that very thing that I desire, internal structure. So I want to look at a few things here. First, we're going to look at the topic of rejection. Second, where do we look for acceptance and approval? And that would be kind of looking at the gold stars. Where do we seek to find gold stars from others? Number three would be, where is our true acceptance found? Fourth, God's love, is it conditional or unconditional? And finally, some applications of our relationships with one another. So the first topic is of that of rejection. And many here, I'm sure, have dealt with this topic in some way or another. I definitely have. I'm sure we all have. And it can be a very painful thing. It can, for me, things back in my childhood I can remember that contributed to that. And I'm sure, a lot of folks here have dealt with that too. One thing that's recently helped me, and the Lord's really brought some healing, is just in considering how much our Lord Jesus was rejected, how much he suffered, in that area. So Isaiah 53:3, if you could read that for me.
He is despised and left alone of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces, despised, and we esteemed him not.
So just what do you guys think? What were some, who were some people that rejected the Lord? What are some areas that we see in the scriptures that the Lord suffered rejection? Just name them if any come to mind.
Peter.
Peter, his disciples.
Pharisees.
Sadducees. The many of the Pharisees rejected the Lord. And actually that's a couple of the scriptures for reference. John 12, 42 through 43. Who had that one? If you wouldn't mind reading. Great, thank you.
Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put on, they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God.
So that's kind of a prime example of loving the approval of men rather than that of the Lord. So if you think about it, the rulers didn't confess the Lord because, being put out of the synagogue had tremendous implications in that day of, social status. And so they were fearful of that rejection of man. So they chose that, those gold stars, if you will, over than the approval of God. Another passage, John 3, 18 through 19.
Say, Josh. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil.
So just another example, another explanation why the Lord suffered rejection. Really, just bottom line is sin. Men love darkness rather than light. And so, of course, they rejected the Lord for that reason. The scriptures also say that his brothers even rejected him. They didn't believe in him. John 7 talks about that. So one of the words in Isaiah 53 says he was despised. And despised means to think little of. So his brothers thought little of him. They didn't recognize who he was, and they didn't believe in him. Another reason, he grew up in Nazareth, and Nazareth was kind of thought of as like backwoods, basically. Like his own disciple Nathaniel, of course, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So, so for many reasons, the Lord suffered rejection, and by many people. Of course, the ultimate rejection that he suffered was on the cross when the Father had to turn his back on him. He bore our sins and was forsaken by God. For that reason, we'll never be able to fathom what he went through. And along with that, though, there's great joy that we will never suffer rejection from God because of what the Lord Jesus did. One of the things that we deal with when we suffer rejection is, I want to look at how we respond to that. And I know there can be a temptation for unforgiveness or bitterness. Hebrews 2, 17 through 18 is another scripture. I want to look at that one. It just talks about how our Lord can help us in that. So,
Hebrews 2, 17, 18. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
So the Lord Jesus was, obviously, he suffered rejection, and I'm sure he was tempted, to respond in a different way than he did. And because he went through that, he can come to our aid, you know, if we ever deal with that. Similar passage in Hebrews 4, 15 through 16.
Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you left them? I'm sure you have taken out your own eyes and given them.
I don't think that's the right. Hang on, let me check that.
Were you in Galatians?
Yeah.
Were you reading first?
No.
Got it in Hebrews? Or I can read it if.
This high priest of ours understands our weakness, and he faced all the same testing we did, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need him most. When we need it most.
So just another encouragement there that the Lord endured rejection, and he can come to our aid. He never sinned when he endured rejection. So if it's something that we face, just come to the Lord with it. Take that to him, and find his healing and grace to overcome, to respond graciously through him alone, and he can give us that strength. So back to the story, talked about those gold stars of approval, and I thought, where are some areas that we can look for approval, and one of those areas is the world, and there's some scriptures that deal pretty strongly with that. So we'll take a look at those. James 4:4. Who got that one? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very strong. And Galatians 6:14.
As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died.
So we really need to take a definite stand. When it comes to the world, we think about it. The world crucified our Lord, and we are in him. John 17, just encourage y'all, maybe don't have time to look at all the passages in there tonight, but it deals a lot with how the Lord has put us in the world. And there's a mission. I mean, he's definitely put us in the world for a reason. But we're to be in the world, but not of the world, but to be that light. So just mention that passage to look at maybe later. But I thought I'd mention just a testimony along the lines of that scripture in Galatians that we just read. When I was in college, growing up, I played a lot of soccer. And when I went to college, I wanted to be on the varsity team. So University of Richmond had at that time, they actually had a soccer team. They don't anymore. But they were Division I. So I was, very competitive. And I tried out 3 times and didn't make it. But it was actually the Lord's mercy that I didn't make it. It was just wasn't a good environment at all. There was a lot of worldly guys on the team. And I was in a class one time with 3 guys that were on the team, and they were all Americans. And it was one of the years that I was trying out. And so I was really tempted to try to, just to get in with that crowd, with the guys who were on the team. And they weren't the Lord's, they were, nice guys, but they were, very worldly. And I'm ashamed. I was really affected by wanting to be included by them. And I remember just, I knew there was an oppression with that. I knew it was blocking my walk with the Lord. And so I was definitely struggling with it. And one day I was sitting in the cafeteria, and I looked up and I saw one of the guys walking my way. And immediately I felt like this pressure, wanting to be accepted. And the Lord, thank the Lord, he brought this scripture to my mind, the one that Jeremiah just read. And Jeremiah, can you just read that again real quick? I'm sorry. Did you shut it? Okay, I've got it. That's all right. No worries. Let's read it again. Galatians 6:14. It says, "But may it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And so the Lord just brought this to mind, and I don't know if I said it out loud, but maybe I did, just quietly. But immediately when I just stood on that scripture, "I have been crucified to the world and the world to me," immediately, like, the Lord just dealt with that pressure. And it was just like it was lifted right off. And I knew, like, that desire for acceptance was gone, because it's because of his finished work, really, that we can enter into that victory. And that's the position he's given us. We're crucified to the world. The world has no part in us, the world system. And so, anyway, just encouragement that don't look to the world for to find your self-value and self-worth. Again, it's the world system is what crucified our Lord. Another area we can look to is even other believers. It could be people that we look up to in the church. You know, maybe we get some sort of self-worth sensing from whether we're accepted by them or not. These are just a couple of areas that I thought of. But if that is the case, you know, if we're looking for recognition from one another, really it's it really comes down to idolatry. And the idol is me, you know, because I want to be recognized. I want to be accepted. And we need to recognize that every believer, no matter how advanced they are in the Lord, no matter how far along they are, everyone is in desperate need of the grace of God. Everyone comes from a place of brokenness. They've found healing in the Lord. We're just all totally cast upon the grace of God. So just again, encouragement not to seek to find our value in, you know, whether or not others look up to us or whatever. So there's a couple of areas, not to dwell so much on the negative side, but now if we could just focus on where is our true acceptance found. So let's look at John 6:37. Who had that scripture?
All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will not at all cast out.
So praise the Lord, what a promise. All who come to me I will never cast out, that our Lord says. So truly, in him alone is our acceptance. I mentioned, you know, considering how much our Lord suffered rejection, an area that the Lord really brought healing to me in. But another is through Psalm 139, and I'll just read the first six verses of that. It's a beautiful psalm. Really encourage you all to meditate on it and just personalize it as you do. But just the first few verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. And the scripture, I mean, it goes on in that passage just to talk about the Lord's intimate knowledge of us, how he created us individually. And it's just a wonderful passage to meditate on. So just know, I mean, as the scripture says, you are God's creation, you know, personally fashioned and intimately known and cared for by him. John 3:16. I didn't think anyone needed to read that one. So we can just quote that one together. Why don't we do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So for God so loved the world. So here's a question. What do you have to do so that God will love you? For God so loved the world. Well, you're here. So exist. That's all you have to do, really. And God took care of that, right? So there's nothing to strive for as far as earning God's love. There's a couple of passages in Scripture that talk about God's unconditional love, and one is his choosing of Israel, and we can see through, if you look at Scriptures about Israel, it just makes it clear that God made a sovereign choice of a people to demonstrate his unconditional love and devotion to them. And this one passage in Deuteronomy 7 makes that clear. So just, who had that? Deuteronomy 7. Just 7 through the first part of 8, if you will. Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 8.
Not because you were more in number than all the peoples hath Jehovah been attached to you and chosen you. For you are the fewest of all the people, because Jehovah loved you.
Perfect. So that, I think your version says attached to you at the beginning. The New American Standard again, using Mack's authorized version there, says, the Lord did not set his love on you because you were more number, you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you. It goes on to say, so the Lord loved you because he loved you. So there you go. If you want a reason, that's it. So Israel, another example of God's unconditional love. And what about ourselves? Let's look at a few passages there. So 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Who had that one? Okay, great. So that scripture makes it clear, you know, there's nothing to boast for. There's nothing, you know, as far as in our flesh that really, that God would want to choose us because of, you know, naturally anything that we possessed. It makes it very clear. It's his doing that we're in Christ Jesus. And, you know, there's no reason for boasting there. So it's all God's choosing. And then John 3:27, did I list that one? Yeah, thanks. Thanks. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. So that's John the Baptist's testimony there. And of course, so what have we received? You know, the love of God, and that's been given to us freely. So just some scriptures that talk about God's unconditional love for us. And just encourage you all just to meditate on those and just know, you know. And I know it's, I was thinking about Mac's analogy of how we start off in college and have to, you know, so to speak, and we have to unlearn so many things to get to kindergarten, you know, and just the simplicity of God loves me, you know, without any strings attached. It's something a child can easily get, you know. Children don't take it for granted, you know, that their parents love them in a good situation. But I don't know. It just seems that as we go on, I know for myself, this works mentality creeps in. You know, you think you have to earn things, and the Lord just needs to strip that away and just bring us back to that simplicity, that his love for us is unconditional. I love the character of Lucia in the story that we looked at. The radiant figure that didn't have any dots or stars. She was just totally caught with the Maker's love and affection for her, and that's what she valued, you know, above all else. And so the world's approval, the world's disapproval didn't matter to her. What mattered to her was the lover of her soul, if I can use that term, loved her unconditionally, and that was her source of inspiration and meaning. Does anyone know what the Apostle John referred to himself as? The one that Jesus loved, right? And how do you think that John knew that he was the one that Jesus loved? I think the simple answer is he spent time with the Lord. And it is true that each one of us here is the one that Jesus loves. But it comes down to, on our part, will we discover that truth? Will we spend that time with him daily to know that that is true, you know, and find our identity in his love and just know that we are the beloved of the Lord. So finally, just our relationships with one another, and this just really springs out of what we just talked about, finding our love and acceptance in Christ alone. Our love and acceptance of each other should be an overflow, really, of knowing how much the Lord loves us. So these last two scriptures talk about that. So John 15, 12. Who had that one?
I did.
Oh, thanks.
This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you.
This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So unconditionally, we are to love one another. And similarly, Romans 15, 7. Who had that one? Can't remember. Oh, just I did.
Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you into the glory of God.
Can you say that one more time? It was a little bit louder. Thanks.
Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you into the glory of God.
So just as Christ has welcomed us, right? And how is that? Unconditionally, right? All we have to do is come to him. So in the same way, accept one another as Christ also has accepted us. So so just a few simple thoughts, you know, and just my encouragement and desire, Lord, you know, that the Lord would bring us all to that place of knowing him as our all-sufficiency, knowing that his approval, which is totally, you know, totally his grace, there's nothing that we can do to earn it. It's his love is freely given to us. That would be our source of identity, of satisfaction. And from that, you know, if we do come across rejection, it won't matter, you know, ultimately, because what matters to us is that we are beloved by the Lord. And as we abide in him and know his love for us, that we would demonstrate that love to one another, just as he has freely loved us, that we can freely love and accept one another to his glory. So let's just close in prayer. Lord, again, we thank you so much that you love this world so much that you gave your only son, Lord, and that you have intimately created and fashioned each of us. Lord, you have, poured out your love upon us, Lord. And I just pray for myself and for everyone here that we would abide in you, abide in your love, that we would take time to seek you, Lord, to discover and know how much you intimately love us, Lord, that would be the sole meaning for our existence, Lord. And just knowing you, Lord, knowing your love and sharing that freely with one another, Lord, protect and defend us, we pray, and keep us for yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.